Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Hahn, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, sex on films. On film. Are actors being paid to behave sexually or engage in sexual explicit activity a form of prostitution, be it involving penetration or not? Some say it is not sexual at all. Is it art imitating life? How is this sexual behavior in the film industry impacting on individuals, society, and the film industry? From Provocative Thought, has a change in the ethical and moral standards of the society precipitated and facilitated a change in the standard for sexual behavior exhibited in film, or has the film industry's exploitation of human sexuality exploited a human natural resource to the film industry? Or is all of that true? The definition of sexual activity from our dictionary says, first, a prostitute is a person, in particular a woman, who engages in sexual activity for payment. Vocabulary.com says sexual activity. Activities are activities associated with sexual intercourse. So it's not just penetration involves sexual activity. Dictionary says that sexual activity is out of course, sexual stimulation without penetration. Since some people do that, you know, to prevent pregnancy. Sexual perversion or an abbreviated sexual practice. Autoeroticism, using your own body as a sexual object. Promiscuity, everybody knows, sleeping around, including, you know, promiscuous, casual, and indiscriminate sexual relations. That's, you know, you call a person a whore and, you know, fast or whatever. Unrestrained indulgence in sexual activity. Foreplay, stimulation, arousal, mutual sexual fondling prior to sexual intercourse, which I guess would be common to a precursor to and during, before, during, and after sexual intercourse. So so PT is saying is notice that there are no cameras, no time frames, intervals, or amount of people involved in the definition of sexual behavior. Just want to make that because an actor had made a comment about it's not sexual at all because it's like 100 people and cameras, you know, I don't know how many cameras on you, and it happens in intervals, maybe 5 minutes or 2 minutes, or, you know, you're ever being broke up. The actors are always being broken up to do this and so they can get certain shots. And what you see in the movie, what you see is it's not happening always in that one set time frame. It might take days to shoot that. So we should not simply say that it is not sexual behavior because we perceive it not to be sexual behavior for whatever reason when the above conditions are present. The conditions that are just all named. Maybe that is how actors mentally prepare themselves to act or behave sexually on fiction. Perception does not change the reality of a thing because you perceive it to be a certain way. It doesn't change the reality, you know. The question, is it sex or sexual activity that a person is being paid to perform? When an actor is, you know, in a movie, are they being paid to perform sexually when they're involved in these sex scenes and things like that, nudity and touching and grabbing and sucking and, you know, putting their heads and hands in places that people do when they are, you know, about to, during, and after engaging in sexual activity and intercourse. So last week we talked about the film industry's sexualizing women, and this is just not relevant to women. This is in terms of the actors and what are they representing on film. Is the film or entertainment industry trying to create a reality by manipulating the mind, the perception, and the sheer definition of what is sexual behavior by really sexual behavior is? Maybe some actors and actresses are masking the reality of their sexual behavior. It's not sex, it's acting. Remember, Hollywood has long been a place of deception, lies, and embellishments. This is from Amplex in 2018. It said, like, when watching TV, within a minute of viewing, the brain switches from a beta level of consciousness, which is the logical level, to an alpha level, which is a passive, acceptive suggestibility, which is kind of state. The relaxed state of the viewer is acceptable to information, subliminal information, which is information that is below the conscious threshold. Psychology Today says alpha brainwaves are brainwaves when the brain is idle. Beta brainwaves are the conscious brainwaves. So that kind of supports what these people are saying right there, you know, in terms of the brain and receiving messages. But the message is quite clear when you see two people acting and behaving sexually. But the other message about that is that that's okay, which is not, you know, because they're acting. And they're not necessarily viewed as porno stars or anything like that, you know. So you can rehearse lines with a fellow actor. The words are real and the motivation for the emotion is fabricated by the, you know, characteristics whatever the scene dictates. And you can get your emotions from anything out of your life and apply it to your acting. What would you call it if you walked in on your significant other in bed, rehearsing a sexual encounter in the nude, half nude, three quarters nude, touching, grinding, kissing, and humping on each other? What if they were not rehearsing? What if they were doing it for money? Who behaves sexually for money? You know, this goes back to the question of just people being paid to behave sexually for money. Is that a form of prostitution, because you're paying for people to behave sexually, whether it's in an interval or not, whether it's penetration or not penetration, you still have sexual behavior. So what is the difference between that? You know, is there a difference, or is there a big difference, or is there no difference? Is it very similar to people who normally, the normal people who we say get paid to behave sexually, which are we call prostitutes or professional sex merchants and things like that. So what do you think? Are people who behave sexually on film, be they actors or actors in the mainstream film industry, behaving any different than porno stars, absence of penetration? So media influence on adolescent sex from The Guardian. So this is just to fall back on how the media and film has an impact on the minds of people. And it says they did some research on teen magazine, teen movies, and TV programs. They looked for romantic relationships, nudity, sexual innuendo, touching, kissing, you know, puberty, sexual intercourse. And the study found that TV programs, music, and magazines usually portrayed sex as a risk-free subject, which means like it was, you know, people just do what you want to do. It's like taking a piece of fruit off the apple. You feel like doing it, you do it, you know, without any kind of, you know, boundaries or anything included in it. So anybody take any precautions, condoms or anything like that, birth control, considering pregnancy, considering marriage, anything like that. So it's just bam, I want you, let's do this thing, you know. So this, you know, so sex was usually between unmarried couples, and examples of using condoms or other contraceptions were they say was extremely rare. So the study concluded that strong relationship between the media and adolescents and sexual expression may be due to the media's role as an important source of sexual socialization for teenagers. So adolescence is a developmental period characterized by intense information seeking. So adolescents are seeking information, especially about adult roles. So they're trying to form their personalities and building blocks for who they will be as adults, being formed during this adolescence and this whatever they're exposed to. Given the lack of information about sexuality readily available to teens, adolescents may turn to the media for information about sexual norms. So they get their ideas about what's normal from the media. So PT is saying if the media's exploitation of sexual behavior can socialize adolescents to behave sexually, it can socialize and teach them ethics and morals regarding receiving payment for acting out sexual behavior simulated or unsimulated on film. For example, nobody calls, and I'm not trying to pick on these people, I'm just using them as an example. Nobody calls Halle Berry or Billy Bob Thornton whores for this sex scene in Monsters Ball. Halle Berry received an Academy Award for her role. And I happen to have seen that. And it looked to me that both of them were very naked and on top of each other and, you know, doing the touching and, you know, pumping and grinding. Whether penetration actually took place or not, I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm not Billy Bob. And so I wouldn't know. But it looked very sexual, with a very sexual scene. So it wasn't with that acting, or is that people, two people being paid to act out sexually, which is, what's the difference between that and people in, you know, the XXX movies, except for minus the penetration. Adolescents become they influence to act out sexually. The ideal that it is acceptable to perform or behave sexually on film is transmitted through the actors and media's overt exploitation of sexual behavior as art for profit. Because, as you know, people have visions or career goals to become actors. And, you know, when you see actors, you know, performing love scenes and sexual explicit behavior and on film, that has to run through your mind that you might run into that situation or get a role where you have to participate or act out that role. You may need to take your clothes off, the top off, your bottom off. Somebody might have to put their hand somewhere on you in a place that's, you know, normally not what you would allow, except your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or however you're doing it. So, if porn stars are actors behaving sexually on film, what are actors who behave sexually on? Of course, I'm asking that question, and I just wanted the listening audience to share their take on that, and you know, how do you feel about, you know, actors who behave sexually on film? Are they being paid to perform sexually on film, minus sexual intercourse? And what's the big difference between the two, except for there's no penetration? Adults are impressionable and can be persuaded also. What they are willing to do to remain in the good graces of the film industry may impact on their decision to behave sexually, and their level of poverty or need for money may influence their decision, you know? So they do have a choice to make. Because, like drugs, you can say no to drugs. And if you say no to, you know, to the industry, they may not want to deal with you anymore, you know, because they're looking for people that's willing to do what they want them to do. The media isn't an entity that forces itself into our homes. We invite it in. Whatever the media is guilty of, parents and caretakers, again, need to take some responsibility for the invite. Children need to be held accountable also, because I think the scriptures say, train your child in a way that he should go so he would not go, or, you know, she would not go astray. So, I mean, you give a child a directive, and I'm sure they know how to follow it, you know. You're not going to use this fact that they're children, you know, that, he's 12 years old, and, you know, he's just not going to listen to what you, that's not true for all children. So, you know, and you hold your child accountable for what they do. So they're going to sneak a peek at stuff and things like that. But if you invite these things into your house, then you're going to absorb the information. It's not a completely helpless situation for those who think that, you know, well, it's everywhere. It doesn't have to be everywhere all the time and as much everywhere if we continue to monitor it and, you know, give children the right information. Because they have strength with the right type of support. So this is from Deadline in Hollywood. I want to remind anybody, if you want to talk, please press the number 1. Because the question is simply what you think. There's no wrong answer here. We just want to, you know, I'm just putting it out there because it sounds like People in the triple X, double X, X movies, or pornography movies are being paid to act out, and they say that they are actors, act out sexual behavior. And they have, some have penetration, some don't, as I understand. Some is simulated penetration, which is very close to what you see in mainstream movies and even on some of the cable shows, you know, maybe on some of the regular TV shows. Now, I mean, there's a lot of that going on. A lot of people with no clothes on top of each other, kissing, grinding, and grabbing parts of the body. So are they? Is that a form of prostitution that's more acceptable to people because it's, you know, one of your mainstream stars as opposed to a sister or brother you don't know who's, you know, doing something very similar on a cheaper budget? I don't know if they have mainstream X or triple X or double X or shows or not. But what do you think? Date with Hollywood. Let's say more than 50 naked extras taking part in a graphic sexual situation on a HBO Westworld show. And it's a show about some Westworld that's like Yul Brynner. Back in the day, the cowboy thing with the robots, and then, you know, you go there, you interact with the robots in Westworld, where they got a new show on TV, Westworld. Was a lot of nudity on the show, and it, you know, they say they're hiring extras, right? And they're being well paid for touching one another's genitals up to $600. So, what is that? You know what I'm saying? So, is that similar to what porno stars are, you know, getting paid for? So this the scale for background performers is $150 a day, but sources say that adjustments were made to pay $600 are being tacked on because of the unprecedented amount of simulated sex and extras are being asked to do. So they're being asked to simulate sex, which that means no penetration on the show called Westworld. You know, it's these robots that you make do whatever you want them to do, and the people that interact with them, they may rape them, they may have sex with one, you know, they may shoot them, they may do all kinds of stuff, you know. So whatever. So they said, other 57 union extras hired for a show had to sign a consent form acknowledging that they might be asked to appear fully nude, wear a pubic hair patch, perform genital-to-genital touching, have genitals painted, simulate oral sex with hand to genital touching. Now, if you're going to simulate oral sex with hand to genital, that sounds like soft porn to me. I don't know if somebody helped me out. I'm not trying to be breaker like anything like that, but trying to get to the bottom of what we see, because it seems like things are, what you see is not always what people call it or identify it as. So what do we think about this shit? So they said that they have to be to conform to being bent over a table like shape while being fully nude, posed on all fours while others are fully nude, ride on your back, ride on someone's back while you are both fully nude. In other words, assorted acts of that nature. The project will also include language and sexual situations that some may consider personally objectionable or uncomfortable. So that sounds like soft porn, at least soft porn, because it didn't say penetration. Simulating oral sex with your hands, that means you must have somebody's penis in your hand, but you don't put it in your mouth. Or you have your hand over the penis, but you don't put it on your mouth, or over the vagina, but you don't touch the vagina with your lips or your tongue or something like that. I guess you would be licking your hand or something. I don't know. I don't know how I do it, but that sounds like how I would do it if I was supervising that situation. It says several background performers contacted by Deadline say they have never seen anything like the extras were being acted to do on this show. And they said it appears to be, it was exploitive of the most easily exploited members of the cast. So the extras are, you know, they're the people that I can replace you. It's harder to replace a main character because the audience has gotten acclimated to seeing that character and it would have messed the whole flow of the movie up. I know they replaced Spartacus and Spartacus, but that was because that brother died. And so in these other you know, so but the extras you can replace them anytime you want. Probably people not even paying attention to who they are. You can't remember what they look like. But the main characters you do remember. So Provocative Thought again is saying actors have a choice. They can submit to the sexually exploited roles, behaviors, and demands of the film industry, or they can reject them. I know that may sound kind of rough for a person that's trying to break into Hollywood. That's like killing their dreams. Oh, my God, I got to take my clothes off, do this nude scene, let this guy grab me between my legs, hold my breasts. This lady had to grab my crotch, and, you know, so I got to do that just to make it, you know. So I know that's a problem, but you have a choice. You can say no to that and maybe never work in the business again, or maybe somebody respects that you said no, that you had some integrity and you said, no, I'm not doing that. You know, who knows? But you don't get that job. Maybe you get another job in the film industry. So Fortune Entertainment Film said, a typical male or female sex scene, that average actress's compensation is typically between $800 and $1,000. Top-tier female performers, however, can earn as much as $1,500 and sometimes $2,000 if they're among the industry's most sought after. A newcomer, for comparison, could earn as little as $300. This is the sex industry. They said that a newcomer could earn as little as $300. Male performers, meanwhile, average $500-$600 per scene a day. Some can pull $700-$900, while the most popular male stars earn up to $1,500. But you see that $500 and $600, that's kind of consistent with the $600 they're paying the people on the show with, for the sexual explicit behavior on Westworld. I mean, that's a coincidence. I'm just going to say that's a hell of a coincidence right there. So Forbes, by Mr. Dan Ackman, said that the New York Times Magazine ran a cover story called Naked Capitalist. I said, there's no business like the porn business. It's thesis. Pornography is big business with $10 billion to $14 billion annual sales. I don't know if that's how true that is, because we have another guy said that according to Adult Video News Industry Trade Magazine, Americans spent over $4 billion to buy and rent adult videos last year. The adult video business grosses about $520 million, not $4 billion. So who knows? $520 million, that's a lot of money too. But the point is, there are people willing to do it, and there's a market, which means that there's a demand for people having sex on film. So that's just the porno industry. So we also know that sex sells in any industry. So they use different degrees of sexual behavior to sell movies. As you know, they're using the advertisement and things like that. So that's another show right there. The numbers. Domestic movie theatrical market summary for 1995 to 2018 said the film industry is a $1 billion industry. This is the film industry, grossing over $102 billion in 23 years between 1995 to 2018. PG-13 movies, $57 billion. R-rated movies, $57 million for R-rated movies, and $42 billion for PG movies. That's a lot of money right there being made. It's either sex or violence that's selling a lot of the movies. So acts Matus Filter 2011 says, I don't recall who it was, but I remember an actress saying that it's incredibly difficult to summon and maintain any sort of feeling of eroticism at all because you're on a set and surrounded by about 100 people. You're constantly going in short increments that are started and ended with action and cut and whatever. It's not all short. It's not all shot in any sexually logical order. Like they may shoot the ending at the beginning and then in the middle next to the ending and so things like that. So it's not in sequential order. And, you know, she said this is the sex scenes basically are not sexy. And it takes a day or two to do the shooting. In other words, it really is all acting because it's basically impossible to have anything actually resembling sex while filming. So, you know, again, I'm going to pose the question because the two people are uncomfortable naked together, top of each other, touching and feeling each other. Is that not a sexual act? Is that less of a sexual act because of the uncomfortability because of other people in the room or not? You know, does that make it unsexual or not? And so how true is that? There is nothing sexual about the behavior because it occurs in five second intervals or 5 minute intervals and in the presence of other people. If you are naked, partially naked or clothed, behaving sexually, touching while naked, body to body, hand to mouth, to or near the body part, breast, chest, buttocks, genitals, between the legs of an individual, a hand or a mouthful of TNA, is a hand or mouthful of TNA, whether you're comfortable or not, you're still acting out sexual behavior. Sexual interaction or behavior does not have a time limit. Ask anyone who's been touched inappropriately, without consent, or with consent in an area perceived as inappropriate. If your wife or husband were observed nude or partially nude for 5 seconds with your friend, would that be considered non-sexual? What if they were filmed in a room with five other people? Would it be considered non-sexual if they both were just being filmed in a room so they're just filming it? That non-sexual situation to you, your husband or your wife? What about in a room with 2, 3, 4, or 50 other people? The number of people present does not negate the sexual activity. You know, arousal or the absence of being aroused does not negate the sexual activity. Again, ask anyone who's been touched inappropriately. You do not have to enjoy the sexual experience to be involved in a sexual experience. So because you're not aroused, does that mean that you're not behaving sexually or acting, you know, in a sexual way? Getting paid to behave sexually, legal or not, is selling or using your body, your sexuality, sexual energy to earn money. What do we say? You know, what do you think about this subject, my listening audience? You know, what do you think that people, you know, why do you think they call it sex scenes, love scenes, being another word for sex, love scenes, sex scene, you know, being, you know, those, you know, being interchangeable words sometimes. Others can be aroused or influenced by the sexual behavior. Like, you may not be aroused by the behavior because there are 50 people in the room and you're working in 5 minute intervals, but a person seeing that can be aroused by your nudity and by your behavior, the touching and the grinding and the moaning and the groaning and, you know, pumping and all that stuff. That's going to arouse people. That's what it's intended to do. And that's why they're trying to get those different shots, because you can't get those shots in a real situation. You have to control it. So what do we think? Is there a relationship or between mainstream actors performing sexually without penetration, or as they call it, simulated sex? Are they being paid to behave sexually like the sex stars are being paid? And my understanding is some of them are paid to have simulated sex, you know, unsimulated sex and simulated sex. So, and actors have simulated sex. So some of the people in the porno business have simulated sex scenes also. So what's the difference, you know? It's a, you know, and I'm just using it, use that monster ball scene because that was a pretty recent kind of like thing that I personally saw. And what's the difference between that scene and a simulated sexual scene? Outside of the fact that it's in a mainstream film, but the actual what's actually going on, what's the difference between that behavior and the behavior of the people in the simulated porno movies? We know the scripts are quite different and not as extensive and probably not as long. I don't know. I don't have the knowledge of what porno scripts, how long they are, or anything like that. But and they might have a full length porno movie, so I just don't know about it. But still, it doesn't change the question. What is the difference between those people acting sexually and a movie that's perceived as a porno sex movie, sex film, and where there is simulated sex in it, there's no real penetration, and a mainstream movie, you know? So are these people are not the same thing? Are they not being paid to have sex? And is that a form of prostituting yourself? Because the prostitute is, or is it different because it's legal? That's another thing, the concept that might come into play, that they're legally, they're within the legal boundary of sexual and physical behavior. Therefore, they're not prostituting themselves. They're paid actors. Where a prostitution traditionally is a person who's on the street, in a house, a building, who's selling their body, and they don't have it outside of the legal boundaries. So what do we think? Anybody have anything to say about the ad to or what I'm saying here? Am I pushing the envelope? Am I crazy for bringing up the subject tonight? You know, it is clearly a sexual situation, whether actual penetration is taking place or not. Cameras are rolling or not. You are actors or not. You are aroused or not. 5 seconds, 5 minutes, or 5 days. It most definitely resembles sex. That is why it looks like a sexual encounter, because it is. So what do we think? What if somebody did it for free? Free of charge. They weren't getting paid. They just, we have a caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Q.
What's up?
As far as sex in, you know, the big screen and the little screen, it would be too much for me. If that was my significant other, I wouldn't be able to deal with her doing that. Matter of fact, I wouldn't be involved with someone that was, you know, that was their job to do that, because I know my mindset wouldn't be able to accept that, you know. So yeah, that's sexual enough. That
okay. So
with me.
So is she performing sexually for money? Would you say that?
Yep.
So
I've heard actors say before that they are prostitutes to a certain extent.
Oh, have
you? You know, I don't think most people are told by that.
Okay. Well. So what do you think? Do you think that is a form of prostitution in terms of just the term of a person who sells their sexual, behaves sexually for money?
Yeah. I agree with that.
You agree with that?
Yep.
Okay.
I know I would have problems doing that if I was an actor and had a significant other particularly. I think I would have problems, you know, kissing on another woman.
Problem
without
her behaving that way. Right, right. Because nobody likes to share their significant other, a lot of people don't like to share their significant others with other people in terms of physically, in front of a camera or behind closed doors or in any type of scenario. Some people, that's an offense. That's what you're saying, right? So that's an offense to you. And you think that it is a form of prostitution in terms of a person selling a performance sexually for money, right?
Yeah.
Right. Right. So I wonder if anybody else might call it that way. Because, you know, the actors say they're acting, and I added a little piece in here that I think it was a female actress of the same age. This is hardly anything erotic about it. I don't know if it's a male or female. I don't know. It doesn't even matter. Saying that it's nothing erotic about the situation yet. It's an erotic situation when they put it together. That sounds like a contradiction to me. You saying that you doing it, it's nothing erotic about it. But you're doing things that are erotic. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
With your body. So,
right.
I mean, that's like that's like having sex with somebody, pretending you love them, but you don't love them, but you're still having sex with them. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? So you're still participating in a sexual behavior.
Right.
So, you know, and, you know, this thing has a history, you know, I guess, you know, a long time ago that you know, you couldn't even show an ankle on television.
Yeah,
that
right.
You couldn't show an ankle, even talking about a woman being, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then,
married couples couldn't be in the same bed either.
Couldn't be in the same bed.
Right.
Right. So you see what I'm saying? So, you know, back then, if some of the same things that we see on TV today would be considered as prostitution. And just straight up prostitution, you know, she got paid to have sex,
mm-hmm.
you know, with a man,
mm-hmm.
whether it's penetration or not. You sexually interacted with a person for money,
and
you know, back then pornography. That would have been pornography back in the 20s and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that would have been very controversial, and you know, those erotica films and stuff like that. They wouldn't have been able to take that.
Right.
So it's in the
in the R-rated films, they're breasted, they're grabbing breasts and all that kind of stuff. And in fact, I've seen them actually mouth the breast on R-rated. So I mean
R-rated. So
yeah.
What is Westworld? Is that R-rated or what is that? Because that's on the TV. That's on cable.
I don't know. I don't know what the rating is for that.
Game of Thrones and all that, you know, they show a lot of stuff on those films, and I like both
right.
of those shows. I don't watch it for the you know, for the nudity part, but it's there and you know, part
right.
of it, and you know, I understand why they have it because the people are supposed to be mannequins, and it shows how, you know, they treat a mannequin. You know, if you see mannequins in the store, you sometimes see a mannequin, nothing on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that, and I understand why what they're trying to do in terms of the realism and things like that, you know, things like that, and the people interact sexually on the film. But I don't know if I've seen that much sex on Westworld like they were talking about in the thing. I'm trying to see because I see all that grabbing and stuff they were talking about. I don't remember. I haven't seen all the episodes, but I don't, you know, I know they do a lot of, you know, stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
So. But a long time ago, you know, after the development of filmmaking, the industry and the moralists objected to the amount of nudity and sexuality and criminal, you know, the crime and violence portrayed in films. So this thing that we have today with sex and crime being perpetuated in films started a long time ago when they first started making films. You know, so. that saying that sex and violence sells movies. It does. It's because it's been done since the beginning of film. So they had censorship boards were set up in various states, and you know, they often on a voluntary basis. Once the movie pictures became widespread and available to the mass viewing audiences and stuff like that, they tried to control the content in terms of the violence and the sexuality, so and the criminal nature, you know, because like people are impressionable, and I don't think it's just adolescents or children that are impressionable. I think adults are impressionable also. So if you keep seeing a thing over and over and over again, you know, that's a thing that you like, and that becomes a part of some kind of part of some people. Some people don't separate that thing. They like it so much that they try to behave like that character. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That they adopt the ideas of that of characters that they see. And therefore, if you adopt the ideas of characters, you can adopt the idea that it's okay to do that on film. You understand what I'm saying? You might not want to do it in real life. You might be okay with doing it on film. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, in terms of nudity, you might look at that like, okay, well, if I become an actor or actress, I ain't got no problem with that. I'm going to get in bed with who? Halle Berry? She. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you had no problem with that. So please, various groups worried about the powerful effects of movies on the mainstream and the growing resentment of the get-rich-quick Hollywood mentality, the film industry made some efforts to self-center its own production, worried that it might be shut down. This is when they had a stronger grip on, you know, the film industry, especially after two very publicized cases made headlines. In 1922, the Motion Picture Producers and Distributors of America formed by the studios conservative former Postmaster General William H. Hayes was appointed to head the organization, began efforts to clean up their motion picture industry. It's 1922. They're talking about cleaning up the industry. They wasn't seeing a third of what we see today. Right? Before the public's anger at decline in morality depicted the film hurt the movie business. They were worried about the public declining morality depicted in films hurt the movie business. You know what I mean? Most studios ignored the regulatory restrictions, of course, cause that sex sells, right? Crime, violence sells, and that sex. So they knew the audiences wanted to see all those type of things like sex and crime. So they started, you know, pushing. You know, they pushed those movies out. You know, I guess I think that's the James Cagney and them guys era. So
right.
a number of notable and successful films produced in the early 30s, before the code was strictly enforced, so-called bad girl movies showed women using their sexuality to get ahead. Now, we talked about the objectification of young girls yesterday and how they learn how to use their sexuality to get ahead from film and the media. And here we have it again. This is back in the 30s, so that's Jean Harlow and stuff like that. But, I mean, the things that these girls are doing, nothing compared to what we see today. You know what I'm saying? So they had a Supreme Court decision in the Miracle Supreme Court decision in 1952 said that the production code was partially written to allow when treated within the careful limits of good taste, right? Such previously banned topics as drug addiction, prostitution, and childbirth, declared films were protected by free speech by the First Amendment. So that means you can do it in good taste. You can have those things in the film. So this is where they start breaking down at, you know. And then they had another one, Bernstein versus Wilson in 1952. Q?
Yep, I'm here.
Oh, okay, I hear a lot of noise. Okay. This decision overruled the 1915 Supreme Court decision in Mutual Film Court versus the Industrial Commission of Ohio, that since movie making was a business, films didn't really qualify for the same First Amendment rights as other forms of expression. So, you know, the film industry said, hey, violate my First Amendment right. And they said, yeah, you're a film and you're an industry. You're not an individual. And, you know, but they overturned that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And all the. So they said that court decisions and attitudes reflected society's increasing tolerance of mature, they call them mature themes in books, plays, and other forms of mass entertainment, and the belief that censorship was becoming obsolete. And, you know, we know what happened after that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there was a market for it, you know, number one, because it wasn't, if it was no market or slash desire for these sexual explicit scenes, then you wouldn't have people doing it, you know what I'm saying? And like
mm-hmm.
that, you know, wouldn't have an abundance of it. You're going to have, is there, it appeared to be a larger market for it, because I don't think this is a backroom market. I think this is a, like the prohibition. You know, everybody was drinking. Everybody was wet, man. They tried to turn everybody dry. So same thing here. Everybody was into, a lot of people were into this enough for people to see that it's profitable to earn money and perpetuate film, the film industry, if you put these things in the film. I'm going to have a gangster film. It has some sex in it, a little sexy chick in it, and bam, nice little script, bam, it's going to sell a lot of money. So pocket of thought again. You know, we're saying, we're just asking, you know, it appears that a change in the ethical and moral standard of society or a portion of society facilitated a change in the laws and attitudes about expressing sexual behavior in the film industry. A success is indicated by profits would be indicative of a market or demand for film with sexual content. So, you know, as I just said, you know, so we can't just blame even actresses and actors in the film industry for perpetuating even the behavior of people in the industry as I should say, you know, being paid to act sexually on film, because your desire to see that perpetuates it as much as the film industry filming it and making it available. Those things work together. They can't make money off of those type of scenarios unless there's someone willing to pay to see it. Now, and you agree with that?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, it seemed to me that it's not, you know, and I'm maybe being the, you know, devil's advocate. Maybe not, but seems logical to see that the society, as in the same thing with the prohibition, wanted to drink. People want to see people behave sexually. That's why you have the porno industry. That's why you have films making a lot of money that are either very violent, you know, or has a sexual content to it. People like mm-hmm. So I guess we are society of voyeurs. I don't know. Are we? We have another caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought. Caller 9042.
Hello?
Welcome to Provocative Thought. Hello.
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 Welcome to Provocative
Can you
Thought.
Hear me?
Hello. Yes.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. It's such a powerful subject. It's so many variables, but morally, I think those films they push the envelope. When you look at the older black and white, they just give you a semblance of romance, and maybe it went further than that, but it didn't go to the actual physical demonstration of it. I don't know if it's, I think there are some films that they actually do the sex act, and that would be fornication, even though it's just a movie.
Right.
And we do know already that pornography is really messing up a lot of our youth. They can pull it up on their cell phone or their watch, iPhone, and computers and tablets. It's really destroying the fiber, the moral fiber of many people. And even in the ministry, some pastors have succumbed to that pornography, which started with the sex film. So overall, it's not a good thing, because you don't have to go that far. You can use your imagination like they did in the when I look at older films, like, you know, made in 1940s and 50s, you use your imagination. Even if it was a film on adultery, even if it's a film on a man and woman who are married and committing adultery, you didn't have to go all the way up to that level like they do nowadays. The fiber of the United States, not just the United States, the world, has crumbled morally and have been doing so for a long time. So it's not a good thing. No good will come out of it. And it hasn't. It hasn't. It has broken the fiber of many, particularly our young people and ones coming up. Or it's not. And between, we know there's a million women being in slavery in their European or Asian or country, you know, it's not a good thing. And in the long run, it's going to hurt us more so in the end. And especially for the African-American community, when you got over 70% of the children being born out of the benefit of marriage, you know, from single parents who are not married.
Right.
And then we know statistically that those men and women in jail come from single parents. I think the numbers are 80% or more. So all that has a price, and the price is really too great. And we the people are paying for it now. And these young.
So let me ask you a question.
And, yeah.
Can I ask you a question? Do you think that mainstream actors and actresses who behave sexually on film, is that a form of prostitution?
Yeah, I think so. But first of all, they get money. We know they sign a contract, right? Sometimes the young person don't know what they get into. And we've seen movies where they're forced into something, especially if they're underage or even 18 and above. So we do know that's a factor in there. That's what this Me Too movement's about. You know, some of these women are actresses who didn't know they were getting into whatever, and it went further than they thought, and some were actually raped. We're hearing about it 30 or 40 years later. So if something's not good, won't end up good.
Right.
If it's not of God, if it's morally wrong, it has a price tag. Yeah, they might make millions of dollars, but then morally they are injured. Spiritually, they are injured. And sometimes they never recover. They can, but it's hard. So it's not a good thing at all. And it was a sad day when it started that. And sadder still, since we know pornography is a major component of breaking down the mindset of our youth. And in closing, so much so that they do so many things. I'm here. I read ministers that tell you that they do so many things in those films that when they get in trying to get in a regular relationship with a man or woman, their brain is so used to their extreme that they want to bring that into marriage, and there's a problem.
Okay.
That's a problem.
I'm
going
to have to. I want to thank you for calling in because we got to go now. I want to thank both callers and listeners for listening today. I want to thank WeTalk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I want to thank the creator. I want to thank everybody again. Please stay tuned next week for our next show. On
you will not be able to stay home, brother.
Peace, y'all.
You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.